Okay, so today I thought I would speak about something I've been wrestling with for some time as far as how to sort of put this together. And it's an experience that I've had here some time ago. It has to do with memories. So I think all of us here that are of a sound mind anyway, we have memories of things that happened to us, right? Experiences that we've had that has to do with memories. If I would ask you, is remembering a good thing? What would you say? Okay, yes, it is. And so I think we would all agree that by and large, remembering is a good thing. Memory helps us to stay connected to our past. Memory is a gift from God. Our brain has the amazing ability to store information. The definition of memory is, memory refers to the psychological processes of acquiring, storing, retaining, and later retrieving information. Three major processes involved in memory is encoding, storage, and retrieval. Human memory involves the ability to both preserve and to recover information. And someone has said the best way to prepare for the future is to study the past. And so being familiar with history and things like that. And part of what we're going to focus today has to do with local, maybe some local history, some pictures of the past that maybe can reignite some of the physical memories that you have of years ago. And I would love to hear some of your experiences. And so be prepared as you think of memories, because specifically we'd like to look at some of the memories that you have. Why is it something that you remember, right? There's a host of things that have happened to us that I have totally forgot, okay? I have no memory. But part of what this brought about, too, is here some time ago, I was listening to a song. I'm not sure where it was exactly the situation it was. I think the Gettys were singing it, which they're about bringing back hymnals and singing hymns and things like that. But they started singing, and the tune of the song that they were singing just instantly brought me back to a small boy sitting in this church house and listening to the German songs that were being sung. It was an old tune, but it was sung on many different songs from the Alsbin songbooks. I had to think of a small boy being over in Guthrie, Kentucky, listening to them singing in the Amish church there, singing these tunes. And so today at some point I'd like to sing the song that has that same tune. And so I'm thankful for some of you older ones, Michaels and Elmers and some of you Lewis, some of you older ones that grew up in an Amish church. And I'm curious if you all will recognize that tune or not. So anyway, but it got me to thinking, this tune, it was like a trigger point. It instantly brought back vivid memories. I had totally forgot, you know, the tune or whatever. But when I heard it, that thing instantly came to the forefront. It was probably tucked back in the memory bank for many years, for decades, I guess. But when I heard that, it immediately came to the forefront. And so as I was looking at this and our memory, what do we do with our memory? Teddy Roosevelt once said, "I believe that the more you know about the past, the better you are prepared for the future." And now here is one thing that someone has said this, and I don't know how. I think there's a lot of truth in it. I'm not saying this as absolute, but it is something to think about. Nothing is more powerful than the memories created by a child's experience. The child's memories fashion the adult's life. Every day of adult life is touched by the memories of childhood experiences. And then here is what is quite interesting. Someone has said that our greatest adult fears were created by childhood memories. Our greatest adult anxieties were produced by childhood memories. Our most negative adult views of ourselves are a product of childhood memories. Our most important adult goals at times have their roots in childhood memories. So our adult attitudes, our adult perspectives, adult expectations, and adult views of life are all powerfully influenced by our childhood experiences and memories. And so basically, what we as adults are, and I don't want to take away from living out our Christian experiences and what Christ living within us can do for us. But there's a lot of things that we do, habits and different things that we do, trigger points, whatever, emotional. It can be hurts, pains, and it can be a lot of good things. But a lot of those were influenced based on things that happened to you as a young child. And here's the other thing. A person will learn more from birth to age 5 than he or she will learn the rest of his or her life. And so that is quite something to think about. The first 5 years of a person's life, they learn more than they will the rest of their life going forward. And just subconsciously, and all the things that developed within a baby and up to 5 years old. And I think that's also why experiences that young children get is very important. And I think we as parents, it's very important that we as parents are there to give them good experiences in that regard. Someone else said, memory binds us to places that forget us and to moments that no one else values. Many times, memory was meant not only for private wanderings into forgotten shadows, but also to remind us of who God is and what he's done for us. And so truly, the ability to remember is a gift from God and is something that we're thankful for. But I realize the older I get, and it seems like it's just really comes more and more, is my forgetfulness, my memory. I can be thinking of something that I want to say, and just in a blink, it's gone, and I can't recover from it. I lose my train of thought. And for you younger ones, for me, it just doesn't get better. And I know that's probably not good news, but it is what it is. So the question is, can we remember or forget? Yeah, we remember, right? Can we forget? It's a little bit harder to do some of those things because memory also is tied around different things that were maybe traumatic or impressionable or whatever. What about God? Do we like when God remembers? Is that important? Is that important to us to realize that God remembers? What if God would forget? In Genesis 9:15, God talking to Noah, he says, "And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh." And then he says, "And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth." And so here we can see a visible sign of a rainbow is part to remember. As God says, "I will put my rainbow up in the clouds and I will remember." And so it's there for God. And as a reminder to us as well, we remember. We remember what the rainbow stands for, even though in our culture they're trying to make it into something else. But for us as Christians, the rainbow stands there as a covenant between God and us. God talking to Moses in Leviticus 26:42, he says, "Then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and I will remember my covenant with Isaac, and my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember the land." In 45, it says, "But I will, for their sake, remember the covenant with their forefathers, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the nations, that I might be their God. I am the Lord." So the question is, do we have a responsibility to remember? You know, we can't help if we forget things, right? Do we have a responsibility to remember? I think we will see that throughout the Bible, we do have a responsibility to remember. In the Bible, different times, people were to look back and remember. And if you look in the Old Testament, all the Passovers, all the different feasts, and all the things that they were taught to observe were all hinged upon something that happened in their past. And that's the reason that they were to celebrate, to commemorate those different events, was to remember those things. In fact, on the verge of his own death, Moses entreats his people, people that he has shepherded for 40 years, to take care and to keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, okay, now saying, it says, it's referring to the people, it says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no." In verse 18, it says, "Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto his fathers, as it is this day." In Deuteronomy 9, verse 7, it says, "Remember and forget not how thou provoked the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness from the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until you came into this place. Ye have been rebellious against the Lord." And so there they were supposed to remember how they essentially treated the Lord in some situations. And so I understand we all want to remember good things, right? But we also need to remember our past and some of those not so good things. And I think we'll see that in the New Testament as well, to remember where we came out of, what we once were a part of. And then in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, it says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Okay, New Testament, 1 Corinthians 11, 2, it says, "Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I have delivered them to you." In 2 Corinthians 9, 6, it says, "Remember this, whosoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously." That's in the NIV. And in verse 11, it says, in Ephesians 2, verse 11, it says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands." So it's okay to remember what we once were, okay, against the backdrop of what we are now in Christ Jesus, okay? It says in Philippians 1:3, "I thank my God every time I remember you." So again, we are called to remember. In 2 Peter 1:11, it says, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And then the next couple of verses, "Therefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and ye be established in the present truth." Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. So Peter here was also talking about keeping things in remembrance. 2 Peter 3:1, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you both, in which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandments of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior. And then in Revelations 3, wherefore, remember therefore what you have received and heard, hold it fast and repent. If you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. And so again, stirring up our minds. So that's what I'd like to, for you to do, is to stir up our minds to edify, but be thinking about memories of your past. Now, God also has this ability. How easy is it for you to forget? Somebody might have said, hey, you need to forget those things. If you don't forget, that's a sign you're not forgiving that person or whatever. How many times have we heard that used as a handle, you know? But it is hard to forget, right? However, I will say this. If we have things in our heart that is not what it should be, it will be harder to forget. Okay? So just put that out there. But I like Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. God has this ability. He says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. So God has the ability to forget, to not remember something. On the flip side, sometimes we remember things that maybe we should forget. In Numbers chapter 11, verse 5, it says, the children of Israel, they were having a hard time with this manna. It was getting old on them, eating the same food every day, right? It's easy for us to look back and we might be critical of them. But what would be our response? It says in verse 5, it says, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlics. But now our soul is dried away, and there is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. Were those good memories? Was it good for them to remember that? Well, there was nothing wrong with remembering it, but it was what they were using it for, okay? They remembered all the good things. And maybe for us, remember all the good things of your past. And we think, you know what? This Christian life is boring. This manna is boring. You know, I like to go back and experience what life used to be like, right? And so I trust that we're not hearkening back to those things, things of the world, but realizing that we have now is much more exciting. Okay, so what are some childhood memories? If you were to close your eyes and think back over your childhood memories, what are some memories that you have not forgotten? I would love to hear from you. What are memories that have made an impression? And I'm not talking about, and no doubt there's some memories you have that you wish you could forget. And I'm not talking about those, but some of the good memories you have, if you will. And just to kind of get us going just a little bit, how many of you had something happen? How many of you had, maybe all of a sudden you smelled something? Maybe it was a smell, a sound, or a tune, which we'll get into, or a remark. Something that came to you through whatever, and all of a sudden you remembered that. It was a trigger point for you, and it brought back memories, something from your past. Has that already happened to you? Okay. I think for quite a few of it, it has. has anyone had anything that is still a vivid memory, something that has happened to you? Anyone like to share? I mean, I've got this right here. I was 5 years old when that happened. And I will not forget what that looked like when I pulled my hand out of the meat grinder. It was mentioned today in class about sometimes about stupidity. And that's, you could say that's one thing that I've done in my past that was rather stupid, right? But again, against the backdrop of a five-year-old, what do you expect, right? But I've lived with the consequences of that decision now for the rest of my life. But I will never forget because it's something that was traumatic, okay? And so, yeah, that's a memory that is etched in my brain that doesn't easily forget, if you will. What are some memories that you have? Steve?
Going back to the members' lane, I was in Catlett on Saturday or Friday, whatever it was. And my sister Martha was there, and she was getting ready to, what we call the tilly shop, or the utility room that we used to live at the airport, and getting ready to live in there. And she was putting something on the floor there that took time to dry, so she had to put a couple coats down. And while we were waiting for it to dry, my sister Sharon was there too, and we were talking about things, and then we're going down Mandarin Lane, and with her sitting there and talking, it all of a sudden triggered on me. I remember her as a teenager sitting up front in the church and getting up, and she was crying and confessing something. During a revival meeting, we used to have the Dave Miller from Oklahoma would come to that meeting to everybody, and it was during one of those meetings that this happened. And I remember as a young fellow in the front line, I was so mad at Dave that he made my sister cry. I thought he was being very mean to her, and I asked her about that if she remembered that. And she said, yes. I said, well, I can't remember what you talked about or what you confessed. Would you care to share what you confessed? And she said, yeah, she would. So she said, that during that time, she and her brother Edward were milking cows, and she was one of the persons that wanted to go out early and have the cows milked to be done before daylight. Well, my brother Edward, he would get up. And he wouldn't go out. He would help. He was supposed to be helping. And so she would go out and start early, take the cows in and start milking, and he would show up and would show up. So she'd take off into the house and try to get him out of bed and get back out and drink. And then he would come out later on after he got dead. I thought he was kind of laugh. But yeah, it's already daylight now, you know, kind of rub it in for her. And this was an irritation. Is that something that she confessed and wanted to lay down? And I thought that was quite interesting, the way that worked out. And another thing that she said I thought was interesting, she said, I had not even planned to make a confession during those revival meetings. You know, she didn't have anything in her mind that she really thought was wrong till that evening. And she said, so she just got up and confessed it right there. You know, it's not like she was trying to decide if she wanted to, or if they don't want to. Did she want to? What were people going to think? And I thought that was quite interesting.
Yes, very good. Thank you for that. And you know, what is interesting is that memory, you know, that place that you were at recently triggered, okay, something that you would have or you had forgotten per se, but yeah, it triggered something, brought back a memory. That triggered something in her life, brought back that memory, and now you've got things from years ago that happened, okay? And so as you were talking about revival meetings, that stirred things in my own brain. I remember revival meetings that happened and different things. And so, yeah, it just, and that's the amazing thing about our brain, okay? Let's hear some more. Kenneth.
Blood or nothing. They didn't think I was fit, so I was laid on the
Right. Thank you.
And I prayed about it, went to the door, and he kept going.
Again, something traumatic, right?
Yeah.
And so those are things that we remember. And certainly being bit by a rattlesnake, you wouldn't forget that either. Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Yes, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, and I don't know how fast they were going, but flying off the back of a truck, certainly that would be traumatic. You would not forget that. Okay? Anyone else? Okay. Yes. And you know, that too, the smell. How many times have you put your nose in a book? And that gets me back when I was in first grade, when I went to school, those new books, and you had that smell of those new books. And even today, sometimes that smell will trigger and takes me back to those times. So thank you for that. Yes. And, you know, growing up on the farm, you know, there's lots of memories. One early morning, our house caught on fire, and seeing Elmer and Jonas carrying 5-gallon buckets into the house. I'm sure Elmer remembers those things. Or one time the bull got out, and Elwood, I guess, happened to get too close to him, and it pitched him a good ways, if you will. I don't know, Elmer could relate quite a bit. If he would get started, we might be out of here. Okay. It might be 1 o'clock before we get done, but I know Elmer has a good memory bank with a lot of memories. But going to the point of traumatic events, for example, 911. How many of you remember what you were doing when 911 happened? Okay. So that was traumatic enough that, and there's a name for it, but being able to go back and recall exactly what you were doing around those events, it has to do with the way God created our brain, our memories. Maybe we'll come back to some of these, but for many of us, some of the pictures that I would like to show here, probably some of you, yeah, a lot of you won't remember, but I think some of you will, and maybe that will trigger some memories as well. But the thing that is interesting is, you know, to you younger ones, maybe some of these pictures is like, what does that have to do with me? Well, it is relevant in the sense that it happened in this area, in the community. But it's a reminder that for some of us, the population that remembers some of these things is dying off. And so there's younger ones coming on, you children. So you're going to have your own set of memories and things like that. Our life, our world keeps changing. Our landscape keeps changing. And so I would like to show, just to make that point, we have pictures. Okay, I'm going to have Sheldon go to the first slide. So how many of you recognize where that is out in Paris, right? We know where that is, okay? That is there on Mineral Wells Avenue, First Bank there. Okay, let's go to the next picture, okay? Here's a picture that was taken back in the probably the latter 80s, maybe the early 90s. How many of you remember? Okay. Not as many hands went up this time as it did the first time. And by the way, this miniature golf course here was named Ralph's Miniature Golf. Maybe that's why I remember that. But how many of you remember the Bonanza sign there? Okay, and how many of you have ate there, right? The best prime rib I've ever had was eaten at that Bonanza right there as a young boy. Now, the reality is I've probably had prime ribs that were just as good in actuality, but being a young person eating at that place, at that buffet, in my mind, that food was still, you know, the best food that was around. And I know you've got sirloin stockade and all of that. Those are good. That's good food, definitely. But Bonanza, in my mind, was hard to beat because it triggers childhood memories, if you will. Flip to the next screen. Okay, that's what you have today is PMB. But the landscape now for you younger ones, you go that road, that's all you know is what you see there now. But if you are old enough and you remember far enough back, you remember those pictures trigger something. Okay. Moving on, let's go to the next picture. How many of you remember the Dairy Queen on the bottom? You have Carroll Bank and Trust. How many of you remember the Dairy Queen on the bottom? Okay. Again, not near everyone, but the older ones do, right? I remember different times stopping in there, but now there's a bank there, and that memory would be long forgotten, but when you see pictures, it brings things to the forefront. Okay, go to the next picture. Okay, this was back in the 70s, I think. How many of you remember Uncle Lee's? Okay, not quite as many hands up for that, but as a boy, that was the best store around. Uncle Lee's. I think my dad got his some guns there. They had hunting. They had all sorts of things there. Tom's Pizza and Steakhouse is there on the bottom there. It is still under, I think, a little bit under construction, but that's when it was built. You've got the mobile home lot there. I'm not sure what the name of that lot was at that point. But now that whole area there, Four Seasons or All Seasons, I forget now, moved in there. You've got Lakeway IGA up there on the left. There's now a strip mall in there. And so the landscape has really changed over the years. But I'm not sure it happened one night or one day. There was a huge fire and it burned that whole store place down. Does anyone know what? Yes, Mike. Okay.
Saturday afternoon, I was there and bought a toast scope for my gun.
Okay.
And I painted the check.
Okay, yeah. Okay, right. Sure, so that would be something to because it's related to this event that happened, right? So Uncle Lee is there, but we have Toms. They've been going a long time. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Okay, here, if you go to historicalaerials.com, and I could get lost in on that website, but you have satellite imagery. And if you look at this area, how many of you recognize that area? It is right outside these doors. And if you look at the, this was in 1956. I think it was in the 50s, latter 50s. But you can see the church house that used to be out here, and you can see how it was situated. It was facing east and west. So now this church house is kind of, well, it's kind of catty corner. It's not really sort of north and south, but the road goes north and south. So you see the original church was facing. You can see the cemetery behind the church. Go to the next slide. How many of you can read the sign? How many of you can read that sign there? Yes, it says New Boston Baptist Church. Okay, go to the next slide. Okay, how many of you remember that picture? How many of you remember the church house? We've got very few hands here. Okay, I remember one time having a service in that church house. I'm not sure which year they started when they built this church house. Did they leave that church house there while they build this, right? And so I think that church house was just out the front there. And that tree, I tend to think that's that sycamore tree that finally got cut down then. But anyway, so those are all memories from the past that, yeah, I have a good friend, local friend, that brought me that picture. And when the PI had closed down and they moved to their new location, they had a lot of old pictures in there. And the other one is, go to the next slide. How many of you remember when the building looked like that? Okay. How many of you went to school in that building? Again, 1, 2, 3, 4. I took first and second grade in there. That was after a tornado or something had went through the area, and the PI came out and took pictures. But that is what the original schoolhouse looked like. And you can see a little part of the other building. I'm not sure now if that was the pink building or, okay. And so that used to be a community center of sorts. Yes, Elmer? Okay. Okay. So they had, okay. So when I came along, it was the other schoolhouse was built, the current schoolhouse was built already at that point. And so, go to the next. Okay. How many of you remember that church house? That is Jolly Springs church house, yes. That was, and I don't know when the picture was taken, but when Bethel started, that's where we started having church. And now I think somebody lives there. Maybe I have not went past there recently to see what it looks like. But yeah, a lot of memories there that can come. Okay, I think that might be the, okay, that's the end. Okay, so going down memory lane just a little bit, and all these memories and things like that helps to bring back things to the forefront. And so, and even now we have pictures, we have information. Times have changed. It shows a little bit how times have changed. For example, back in 1911, anyone want to guess how many schools were in Henry County? Now, we're not talking just necessarily high school, but like grades 1 through 8. In Henry County, around the turn of the century, like 1910 and 11, anyone to guess how many schools were in Henry County? Okay, 10 to 15. Anyone else? Okay, it was over 100. Okay? In fact, it was 108 schools, or about 108 schools to be exact. In fact, there's a book that got released recently, History in Henry County, and you can find all the schools that are listed there and who the teacher was. And this was in the book that came out. This was information that was found in the yearbooks of the county in 1910 and 11. And now, that was back in the day when they still had segregation. So, for example, there were 82 white schools and 26 black schools. And so, yes. So, in actuality, to cover the whole county, yeah, there was, to give you a little bit of an idea, 82 versus 26. But, yeah, over 100 schools in Henry County alone. So every community basically had a school teacher. And anyway, time is just going way too fast here. And so those are all things that we realize how times have changed. But getting back to this tune here, and I was, as I heard this tune, I was wondering, what is it about this tune? And so I researched the tune. And this tune was put together by Hugh Wilson, is accredited for that tune. The name of the tune is Martyrdom. Martyrdom, and it's in memory of a man from Scotland, okay? So they were having, this happened way back, they were having a service, a prayer meeting of sorts, and the authorities came in, and I guess he was sort of the main one, but they just killed him right on the spot. And this tune was attributed to this person. And so what's interesting is that this tune that I heard the other day led me to research. And so now whenever I hear this tune, I can't help but think of this martyr in Scotland. But what is very interesting about this tune, if you go to your hymnary, pull your hymnary out, and let's sing this song. Let's go to song number 120. The Savior, what a noble flame. Now that is the tune that you hear a lot of times sung on some of these Amish hymns. Do you feel like you know the tune? And I'm not sure. I'm just going to take a stab in the dark. Why don't we sing because of time? Let's sing the first and the last verse. Okay? The Savior, what a noble flame was kindled in his breast. When hasting to Jerusalem, he marched before the rest. And while by bleeding glories here engaged our skies. Thank you for that. Is that familiar to any of you all? And so what is interesting, in the hymnary, the hymnal doesn't have it. And what I really like about the hymnary, if you look under the meter scale, it's 8.6.8.6. Now that is very important. If you go to page number 906 in the hymnary, and I did not realize this to this extent until I've researched it. But when you're familiar with that meter, the 8.6.8.6, if you go to the bottom of page 906, And you see on the left-hand side, on the bottom, you see common meter, okay? And notice that 8.6.8.6, 8.6, all the songs in this whole thing, there's over 100 songs that can be sung on that tune. So basically, you can go down through there and you can pick any of those numbers, okay? Now, they're going to be on different tunes, but the particular tune that we just sung, all of those songs can be sung on that particular tune. So if you see a song that you would say, let's go to 205, for example. This is not really part of the message as such, but if you go to 205, okay, and we look at it and it says, well, I don't know that song. Well, if you look at the meter scale, that other tune can be sung on that song. Now, what's interesting is if you look under back to 906, you can see the song Amazing Grace, for example. Amazing Grace is the same scale. You can sing this tune on the song Amazing Grace. On the flip side, you can also sing the tune Amazing Grace on all these other songs. Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed is also the same 8.6.8.6. That tune can be sung on all of those songs. And so it has to do with how the song, how the words, the syllables are constructed. And so when you know maybe a half a dozen of those tunes, there's a lot of songs that can be sung on that tune. Okay, so just quickly wrapping up here. I think God will sometimes allow memories to sit dormant in our brain, and it just sits there for a long time. And then he allows something to happen, okay? And that triggers, and that memory comes to the forefront. What do we do in that time? That memory can either minister to us, or it might trigger bitterness or something else. And so the question is, what do we allow that memory to do to us? Can we give it to God, release it to him? I trust that's what we can do. And so memory is a good thing. It's a gift from God. And I think it's important sometimes is to think, and maybe sometimes it's to think backwards, to realize the decisions that you make today are extremely important, okay? Extremely important, because those become the memories that are going to be made down the road, okay? They become a memory tomorrow. Those memories will help to keep you grounded in the coming years of your life. When those God moments happen in your life, you can write them down and refer back to other times. Just like that song, that now whenever I hear that tune, that's what I think about. So I think it's good to remember to live life, to love life, to go out there and do things. Do adventuresome things with your family to create those memories. And I know for me, I get so caught up in work. We don't have time to go out and really create these memories. And if you stop and think about it, a lot of the memories that you have now are things from your childhood. I don't remember so much the things that happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Life is kind of just a blur at times. But the things from your childhood, you remember a lot of those things. Psalm 143, verse 5, it says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. And so, again, we remember some of the stupid things we did, if you will. Stupid as in showing a great lack of intelligence or common sense. But God can even take those things that we did and make something good out of it. Finally, the verse here in Psalm 22:27, it says, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. Let's pause for a word of prayer.